really a pleasure to be here. One time Brother Bot was speaking and talking about Modesto. And well, as he was speaking, I had a lot of excitement in my heart about Modesto. You know, I hadn't been here, but as he was speaking, I had a quickening. So I told him I want to come to Modesto. You know, so he said it's a very small group. I said fine. Even the small groups. Well, we go to big groups sometimes, but sometimes God also has something for the small groups, you know. So I looked up my schedule and I saw that there was a conference, a medical conference, you know, taking place in San Francisco, the ASH conference, the hematology conference. So I said to him, well, I think that makes sense. So maybe I just come up to the conference, then I can take off some time to come see you. Yeah. So the conference started yesterday. Well, actually starting today. I just keep some sessions, you know, so I can be here this morning. So hopefully in the evening we'll have to make a quick dash to see what's going over there. So we'll try to balance the two. We'll do conference and also have some time to fellowship with you.
Right, just go ahead, I'll take care of it.
Okay. And then I was just telling Jim, I also noticed something happening sometime next year. Well,
I have to make it soon.
Are you going to be back next year?
He doesn't know.
Oh.
I think so.
He
doesn't believe we'll make next year. He believes things are so bad that we can't make next year. Well, if we do make next year, then...
That would be great.
Well, next year begins at January. So you never know.
So if we do, then I think we might be coming over here too next year. I mean, there will be more of us coming.
Make any rash statements now.
I don't know, I just a maybe. I'm not saying maybe. It doesn't hurt to say maybe. So you may have more crowd coming in next year. Maybe.
Never know.
Anyway, so it's a real pleasure to be with you. And I was just praying. I had a little thought that came into my head. Sorry, we were trying to balance this. Okay, I think I have it. Can I borrow this?
That glass is perfect.
Heavy, huh? It's heavy, yeah. Well, that's what it is. Well, we'll make all sorts of... Sorry.
If you use that for an iron, you'd be worn out by the end of the...
Anyway, so I had this little thought from Genesis.
Yes. Genesis.
Yes.
What chapter?
One.
Oh, one?
Yeah.
Oh, it started.
Genesis 1.
Genesis 1.
Well, there's a lot of good, so much in Genesis. Brother Botia, he lives in Genesis. I'm sure he will soon get very excited.
I can't get past the first chapter.
I have a lot of stories in it.
Pardon?
There's so many stories in
it. Oh, yes, they're all prophetic, you know.
Yeah.
You know. But we're just looking at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Well, even the first one says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know, so this has been something historical. You know, it's like history, and there are lots of controversies, you know, evolution and so on regarding this, you know, this verse. You know, but when you look at it closely, it begins to open up. You know, you begin to see the dimensions that go with it. So he says, what I see there, I see darkness, and then I see the Spirit of God in the midst of the darkness. You know, so we can even begin from the very natural dimensions that when you have a circumstance, you know, that isn't going well for you. You know, you have a situation where you're under some kind of pressure, spiritually, you know, physically, mentally, however it is. It's a pressure, but see, that pressure is prophetic. That setting you are in is prophetic.
Amen.
You know, so you might just be looking at the it's like Peter. You know, so he was out in the sea, and the waves were beating on him. Okay, so that was the circumstance that he had, and you could relate it to the circumstance of the, you know, uncertainties, you know, of life and so on. And here he was, and in the midst of it, Jesus was there also. You know, so. If you look at another scripture in Corinthians, it says that they had no temptation or trial or test or whatever, you know, that you know, that whatever trial or testing that comes to a child of God, that God will, with in that same testing, in that same circumstance, God will make a way.
Amen.
You understand? So you can see it's a prophetic word that runs from Genesis, first word, and even to the very last. You know, so God's mind, you know, is certain. I'll give you another scripture. Jeremiah 29, it says that I know the thoughts that I'm thinking towards you, that they are good thoughts. You know, good purposes, good plans. You know, God is excited about you. You may not know. When God thinks about you, He is excited. There's a goodness in His heart when He thinks of you. And He says it is to give you a good end, an expected end. You understand? So, there's never in God's mind a setting where God has thoughts to bring you to a bad end. You know, so you look at your life, you look at your circumstance. The devil may be saying to you, God has nothing, God's forgotten you, God, you know, that cannot be true.
Amen.
You understand? It cannot be. You know, so it is a choice you have to make, you know, to realize that wherever you are, it may look dark, but you see, you need to put on the eyes of faith. To look through the darkness, and at the end you will see light, because God says He has a good thought to give you an expected end. You know, and so what did He say? He said to Peter, "Come." You know, Peter said, "If you bid me come, so should I come?" And He said, "Come." And then Peter stepped out on that word.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to walk on the circumstance. Peter walked on his circumstance. He began to walk upon his high places.
Hallelujah.
You know, he says he maketh my feet like hinds feet, and he maketh me to walk upon my high places. Difficult situations. The things, the mountains that you have not been able to overcome. You can overcome them. But to overcome them, you need to step out. Not in your own understanding. Say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will. So if I step out in my own understanding, my own strength, and so on, you know, like Peter, that's likely to, you know, so because Peter began to look on the circumstance, and he began to sink. So I've seen that when I'm sinking, because I'm walking in my own understanding, in the circumstance, there's a situation. But you see, when we do that, we actually blame God. Well, it's not working. It's not working. Well, your word said so and so, you know. But the thing is, sometimes we've not taken out time to get a word from God for the circumstance.
Amen.
So if you get a word for the circumstance and you stand on it, you will walk on water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few months ago, we were thinking of going to Germany. We had to get a visa. It was so difficult to get a date. It's summer, everyone is traveling. You know, the embassies are all filled up, you know, and it was difficult. But in the midst of it, this word came about walking on water, you know, and I said to God, what do we do? He said, do this. It looked so difficult, and we did it, and we were able to get an appointment. And when we went there, the door opened.
Praise,
you know what I mean? And if not just that, previously we probably just, you know, get a very short time of visa, but this time they gave us 6 months. So next month we're going back to Germany, you know. But it was a miracle, you know, because it was difficult. In fact, I told my wife, so we can't make it. Let's try go through some other way. But the word said, walk, step out. And, you know, it was difficult, but, you know, we took that step. So I think this is a word of encouragement that's coming to you. I don't know what the setting is, but you need to get a word for your situation and stand on it.
Yes.
If you get a word for your setting and you stand on it, you will walk. Yes. You will walk.
Amen.
You will have victory, personal victory, and you will have the testimony. You know, so Peter stepped out, and, you know, because if you look at this place, it says there was darkness upon the deep, but the Spirit of God was in this situation. You know, so the second point of victory is that you must believe that God is there. You know, sometimes we don't pull through. We start out and then our feet fail. So, you know, because of the situation, we feel it's too hard, or we don't have the strength or the energy, you know, to go all the way. But it says that the Spirit of God was there. You know, look at the other scripture in Romans that says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It's still the same thing that he's speaking about. So if you have sin, you have a challenge, the Spirit of God is there. So you must believe it. And you must build your life on it. You understand? So because the storms are coming, there's trouble. That's what he's saying. We may not make next year, because, I mean, look at this year. By the beginning of the year, nobody knew what ISIS was.
Right.
Nobody knew that there was anything called ISIS. You know, within 4 or 5 months, the whole world is in flames. It's by that spirit. So who knows what is coming next year? You know what I mean? Okay. So if we didn't prepare, It says if you run with the footmen and they wearied you, what are you going to do with the horses? You understand? So the spirits that are coming, I tell you, they are very strong. And hopefully, I tend to look at some of those later on down the line. You know, so there is a certain preparation we need to make now. You know, so we can't postpone it. You can't put it off. You know, because this is the best chance you have. Next month is going to be more difficult. And the other month coming is going to be more difficult. So if you really want to make any preparation, it has to be now. You know, this is the best chance. You know, now if you look at the next verse, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. You understand? So, you know, so it's not just that. If you're looking at your setting, your circumstance, it's not just that that God is in it, and that there is grace to see you through that situation. It's not just you're not just going to manage, but light is coming. In other words, and remember, when light comes, you look at John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Alright? And in that Word, in Him was light, and it was the light that lightened everyone. And He said, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness, you know. Good. So that's what we are seeing here. The darkness was there, and out of that presence of God, in that setting. So in other words, light and darkness. You know, so you look at the dynamics of it. For a time there was darkness. It was as though there was nothing happening. God was not in the picture. You understand? God was not in the picture. And we're looking at the world today. It's a false victory the devil has in the world. I'm telling you, it's false. It's temporary. You understand? So, if you have a prophetic eye, you know that victory is coming.
Praise God.
Alright? Because you're looking at, there was darkness all over the place. Okay, that is the time of darkness. Remember that, you know, in the, you know, with Jesus says, this is the hour of darkness. Mm-hmm. So, there is an hour, there's a time that God has given for darkness to fully manifest itself. And as long as that time is still there, if you look at the horizon, look at the situations, the impression you have is that darkness has the upper hand.
That's what he wants you to
say. But if you look in the midst of that darkness, you will see light. Okay? And as I sat down here and I said, oh my God, you know, thank God that in this area there is a light, and you are the light. Do you know you are the light?
Amen.
You are the remnant. God always has a remnant, you know. But you see, and in the remnant, the light will never go off. It says, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But that's not the end of the story. But behold, a light is going to rise on the people. You know, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen. You know, so anywhere you see darkness, there's a better story. If you persist, if you push on, you will see the good story. You understand? So that's the principle. So you in your setting, everything may look so bleak, so dark, you know. You might just be struggling to make ends meet, spiritually, financially, whatever it is. Just look beyond.
Amen.
Look in that setting. You'll see light. You see, and you see, the light says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. You know? So the light is on the increase. Now, if we go a little bit in this Genesis 1, you see, there was a principle for this darkness and light. There's a principle. First is the darkness before the light. He says it was evening and morning was the first day. Where do you find that?
Right.
You see, verse 4.
Well, it's in 5. Mm-hmm. Evening and morning were the first day.
Okay, good. He says, and God called, okay, and God saw the light that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Mm-hmm. And the evening and the morning.
Yes.
Were the first day. He didn't say morning and evening. It is evening and then the morning. So the thing starts out in the morning, in the evening, but the story will change somewhere along the line. So you have to look at your setting. Where are you? Are you in the evening? Are you in the middle of the evening? Are you at the tail end of the evening? Then, in whatever setting you are, you see, you know, it says when you see Jerusalem surrounded,
mm-hmm.
What's going on? Say, lift up your head and begin to rejoice because your deliverance is coming. Amen. So, you're looking at your. So, in other words, I see the Spirit of God prophesying to us. And you need to prophesy to yourself. You know, speak. And say, the morning is coming. Amen. Amen. You know, it says, that scripture that says, it says that the night may endure, but
joy
cometh in the morning. What was that scripture?
It's in Psalms.
You know, so it's something that the morning will come. You know, there's a time, the night will drag on and on, but there's a time when the morning is coming. You know, and I feel so strong this morning to say to you that the morning is coming. You have to believe it. And you need to begin to rejoice. Amen. You need to be rejoiced that the morning is coming. Amen. And you know, you farmers out here, and, you know, you know when you plant, it's a prophecy. Because when you put the seed, you begin to plan for the harvest, don't you? You don't wait until you have the harvest before you start planning for it. Alright? So, you put the seed, you begin to make plans for the harvest. You even make plans for selling the seed, is it not? Who is going to buy it and so on. So, that's what you need to do. You need to begin to make plans for the morning that is coming, for the, you know, for the this visitation that is coming from the Lord. Amen. Now, there's a word I just remembered this morning. Let me go there. Ezekiel 37.
Ezekiel 37?
37.
37.
Ezekiel 37. 37, yeah. Ezekiel 3:7. It says, and now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month.
Where are you?
Ezekiel, oh my God, I'm reading the wrong place, sorry. I'm in Ezekiel 1. Sorry.
Ezekiel 1.
No, I'm in the wrong place. I should be in 37. Okay, good. I'm in 37 now. 3:7. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Ezekiel 3:7, verse 1 said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now, the word for bone is substance. It means bone, but the Hebrew means substance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it means essence. It means, it could also mean your body. Or it could mean your members. Okay?
Bones means essence?
Yeah, that's in the Hebrew.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it means essence. It could mean your substance. It could mean your body.
Yeah.
It could mean your members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this word, you can stretch it. You know, it's still the same principle we're looking at. Mm-hmm. It says he brought him to a valley that was full of bones. That it didn't take him to a mountain.
Yeah.
He went right down the valley. Do you understand? It was down, down, down.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you see, when God is walking, God, he's, you know, you see, God deals with the reality of your circumstance. He comes right there in the valley. He's not there in the mountain. Say, yeah, come up, come up. Yes, there's a call to go up to Zion. But you see, the Spirit of the Lord will come down to the darkness. He will come down to the valley and begin to walk. Now he might bring us, he might bring you up to where he wants you to be. Because where he wants us to be is a mountain. Alright? Zion, the high place of God. Alright? But if by chance you are not there, the Spirit of God is so good. There is an administration of the Spirit of God to come to you where you are. And to walk. If you will cooperate with God, then he's going to take you. You understand? So when you have that flow of the Spirit of God that comes to you in the valley, it's not saying, look, I approve of your valley. Alright? But he's saying, I love you. Despite you are being in the wrong place, you shouldn't be in the valley. But I'm coming with life. I'm coming with hope. I'm opening the door. And I'm taking you. Alright? So, you look at the scripture like Isaiah 55. Where it says, my ways are not your ways.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts are not your thoughts. Okay? Say, so is my word.
Yes.
That goes out. It's not going to come back to me void. So you can see God's word is coming from the very heights, from the mountain, from the highest of the heights. You see, as the heavens are higher than the earth. So how high is the earth? Is the heaven? They sent something out to the space. It took 10 years to get to the comet, isn't it? Okay. So how high? Millions. All right. So that's where God is. That's the expectation, right?
Amen.
But even as high as it is, he sends his word down to Modesto.
Yeah. Amen.
So he's coming right down to where we are. You understand? And he's still relevant. You know? So he says he's sending his word, and he's not going to come back void. So this word that you are hearing is a word for you, and it's to take you. Alright? And the word is a platform, it's a vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay, and you are supposed to be the passenger in the vehicle. So that vehicle must not be empty. You must be in it. I must be in that vehicle. It says it will not come back void. It must prosper. It must fulfill the mission. Okay? And that mission is to cause the earth to bring forth and bud. You know, there's a fruitfulness, there's a life that the word that comes to you is bringing, that your word that you are hearing, there is life in it, there is hope in it, there is energy in it to change the circumstance. You know, say it will not come back void, it must do that. Say, so is my word that I sent forth to bring forth life. You know, so. Reading on, it says, verse 2, and he caused me to pass by them round about. Okay? He caused him to begin to examine this valley of dry bones. And behold, there were very many of these bones in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. They were not just dry, but they were very dry. That is, it was really bad. Really bad. You know, I don't know if you can relate to. I can relate to it. You know, there are certain settings I say, oh my God, I need you to move. You know, so he says they were very bad. So this was the word that came to me this morning when we were praying about Modesto. He says, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You know, we came into San Francisco. Of course, you know, they say it is the fountain that is defiling the whole world. You know, with homosexuality, with sexuality, with rebellion. I will pass through a storefront. They said, Jim, what was it? They said weird games. What was it? They said.
It was just you know those games they play, electronic games.
Yes, but it was very bad ones. So this was the place where they said, well, if you want to play the very bad ones, you can come in. You know, and I passed another shop. I saw Psychic, yeah, and all those ones out on the street. You know, where I come from, yeah, they're not out on the street. Yeah, they're a little bit more hidden, but this was out there on the street. You know, so and in that setting, God is saying, "Can these bones live?" You understand? So you're looking at an environment that's been really, really, really taken over by spirits. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's the prophetic word. Amen. You know, to the dry bone. And that word is for you. You have to take it. You know, you have to believe it. That the dry bones can live.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's a word that has many manifestations, many dimensions. You're looking at, you know, there are multiples of application of that word, you know, and he's saying the dry bones can live. If God says it can live, then it is true. It's like the word they gave Peter. Say, come. So if God says the dry bones will live, then I must begin to respond to it. So the question is, are you ready to respond to that word? You know, in your expectation, you say, oh, it's done, it's finished, nothing. I'm just managing, I'm just hanging out. I'm just, you know, like that woman that said, I just have this little meal. I want to cook it for myself, cook it for my son, and what happens? And then we will die. And God says, you're not going to die. Amen. That's the one you're here. They say, you're not going to die. He says, bring the meal. Cook it for me. And out of that little meal, God changed her story. You know, says, how many verses do you can bring? And from that moment, there was a multiplication. I mean, there was an increase. God began to do things in her life. You know, she's a woman. And the woman speaks of the church. And can that woman be speaking of you in Modesto? Can it be a word that you can apply? Yes, you can, because that woman speaks of the church, and the woman also, in the fullness of that prophetic application, also speaks of the soul. Okay, we're not yet getting there. We'll get there later, but we're just looking at just the foundational dimensions of it, that God is bringing a word to you. And he says, this valley of dry bones shall live. Amen. You have to believe it. You know. And you know, Peter believed, and he began to walk on the water. That which looked so difficult, impossible, mm-hmm, became possible. Amen. Now, Now, but there is a place, a role that you have to play. You say you prophesy on it. Okay, God says they are going to leave, but you have to become responsible for it. There's a role you have to play, you know, in prophecy. So you prophesy. So let's see what he did. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. So now remember, for Ezekiel, it wasn't easy. He didn't believe. Because when God asked him, can these bones live? He didn't say they can live. He said, Lord, thou... No, it was a very polite way to say, I think we should do something else. I think we should go somewhere else. You know, God said, well, no problem. I know you don't believe, but I believe. You know, is that not what the scripture says? That even when we are not faithful, that he remains faithful. Yeah. Amen. So, there's a bank, there is something you can hold there. That even when you do not believe, you do not think it's possible, God is assured of himself that what he's saying is going to come to pass. You know. So he responded. So there was a change that began to take place in him. You understand? So he saw the setting, he saw what God was saying, and it's okay. If God said they will live, then I have no belief. So he began to respond to God. And that is what you need to do. You need to respond to God. You see, and when you're responding to God, you have to forget your circumstance. You have to forget your past. You have to forget your failures. You know, the man had been toiling all through the night, and Jesus comes to him and says, well, cast your net on the right. Say, no. We are done with that. You know, we've tried all that we could. We did not get anything. He says, don't worry, just do it. And the man said, well, one more time won't hurt. I tried 20 times and I didn't catch anything. If I do one more time, well, it won't be too bad. He says, nevertheless, and I would. And when he did that, that changed the whole setting. Yeah. You know, he began a multitude of fish and he couldn't. And if I understand correctly, fish also speaks of souls. God wants to give you a responsibility for the souls in this environment.
Amen.
Are you ready for that? Okay, if you look, you may not see anything. But I have the eyes of faith. I think I can see something. Amen. You know, you look, you're looking. You know, so the souls, fishes represent men. The souls of men. So you're looking out. And you are trying to reach out, invite people, do this and that, and nothing is happening. Well, God says, cast your net. Do it one more time. Amen. And when he did it, the whole place was filled with fishes. That is what we are looking at here. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together. Bone to his bone. Amen. You know, he was surprised. He said, behold. You know, he didn't even expect it. You know, but something began to happen. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. And the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Okay. So, in this walk, in that walk of bringing a restoration to those valley of dry bones, it was a progressive walk. You know, it wasn't all done in one day. You know, there was a time God had to deal with the man. You understand? So, when God dealt with the man, he moved on to the next phase. Okay, now I want to show you the valley. And then when he showed in the valley, he said, now you prophesy. It wasn't God that prophesied. So God needs a man to prophesy. So you have a choice to make. Are you going to respond to God And in responding to God, you must look beyond your circumstance. If you look at your circumstance, then you will not be able to respond to God. So that response must be in faith. So this is my setting, but God says this, so I am going to believe God. And as he believed God and began to respond to God, things began to happen in his environment. And then, you know, so verse 9 said, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, and prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them,
yes,
and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Amen. So can you imagine the unfolding story? When God came to him, he didn't know God was talking about an army. God had a vision in mind. He was seeing an army, but Ezekiel was not. It was just seeing dry bones. So that is the contrast, you know. So he says, "I know the thoughts that I'm thinking towards you." Okay, so you, to appreciate what God is saying to you, you need to have the eyes of faith. With the eyes of faith, then you can see. But if you look at it with the natural eyes, you will not be able to appreciate what is in God's mind. Because he is talking of an army, a great army. But you are looking at dry bones.
So, what you mean is you need to get into God more to know what he's saying?
Yes, you need to get into God more. And not just that, but you need to begin to look with the eyes. You need to have God's own perspective.
Yeah, you have to have his perspective.
You need to have God's own perspective.
Which requires getting into God.
Yes, yes. You understand? Yes. So there is your own perspective. So you come to a point where you have to lay it down. And to lay it down sometimes very difficult, because your perspective may make a lot of sense to you. You are used to it. This is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. Pay my bills, solve my problems, deal with this. And sometimes you can be bogged down with it. God says, step up higher. To step up higher, you see, that I have to bring that circumstance and give it to God as an offering. That's how, that's the way to deal with it. An offering, God says, give it to me. Say, Abraham, give me your son. The son was valuable to him. The son was all that he had.
Yes.
The son was, you know, it was 25 years of God's dealing. That's what that, you know, there was nothing beyond the son. God says, give it to me. It was a long struggle for him, but he took the son. I said, fine. And God said, now I know. You understand? So it's not just going to be a mechanical thing. The offering means, you know, you are digging deep. You know, out of that depth of God's dealing, you are giving something. You know, giving. Yes, please.
Practical, maybe.
Yes.
We are pre-programmed to accentuate the negative.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we're programmed. Something happens and it's oh me, oh my, mm-hmm. Or not again, or how can this thing be, or oh, this is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
We are pre-programmed to think in a negative fact. But when a situation like that, we should be familiar with the Word of God, that in the midst of that thing that is negative, we hear all things work together for good. That should be something that comes into our mind. And it is the Word of God that brings faith. It is the Word of God that accentuates the positive.
Yes.
So when it comes in that, then I can stop and I can say, all right,
It says all things. Let God let begin to show me or to help me discern the good. What do I do in order to facilitate the good?
Amen.
I've been hearing a lot of God won't give you more than you can handle. That seems to be the word.
Well, yes, but you have to complete the verse. That's only part of the verse. He says he will not give you more than you can bear, but in the circumstance of
the
situation, he will provide a way of escape. Now, that doesn't mean like the jet man, the pilot hitting the button and ejecting himself out of the cockpit. It means that God will give you an understanding. Let's put it in the context of what he said. There was darkness, and God said, let there be light.
That's right.
So you have to not necessarily want to get loose from the circumstance. You have to be able to find God
in the circumstance.
That's right.
So in the circumstance, a word begins to come to you.
Yes.
And that is the energy. You understand? So if you receive the word, it multiplies.
Yes.
And as you respond to it, that word begins to put you over the circumstance. So after a while, the circumstance becomes irrelevant. Mm-hmm. That's it. So it doesn't really matter if it is there or not, because you have something that is now giving you a strength to deal with it and to overcome and to do what you have to do, you know. So you can see the man, you see the progression, you know, darkness, dry bones, all right. So it wasn't like you're saying, it wasn't just like, okay, you know, it just came and everything changed. The man had to participate with God. He had to repent. He had to come to a point of repentance and change his course of thinking.
So you think he was probably there a couple of weeks or what?
Well, I don't know. We don't know how long it took. Yeah. But it may have been.
Job sat in the ashpana for 3 years.
Okay.
Before God moved,
he said
to restore and to resurrect.
Yes, yes.
So the timing factor is up to God.
It's
something that you determine, or what the timing factor.
Yeah.
It's your response to God
that makes the time.
The circumstances that determine
the
timing factor.
Yes. Was the repenting because he didn't believe?
Yes, because you ask him, can they live? He said, Lord, thou knowest.
Yeah.
That was a very American way of saying it's not going to happen.
No.
okay, it's not American. It was a very political way of saying, well, I'm not sure now. This is, I'm not sure where I'm going. Maybe you know. I'm not saying this.
Go in and get the enemy.
That's right. You know. So you can see the principle of what God is saying. He's saying you need to move forward.
Yes.
From where you are. Okay. And to move forward, you know, he's giving you all the mechanics. How do you move forward? So it's laying everything down, you know. So that's very exciting because it is clear, and he's also saying what is going to happen, you know. Then verse 11 says, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel.
Yes.
Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost.
Yes.
We are cut off for our part. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel.
Amen.
You know, So it's very exciting because there are different layers of what God is speaking. You know, he's speaking of graves. All right. So, of course, it may have been a natural grave. All right. But it may have been something prophetic. You know, and of course, one way is to look at the circumstance, the setting. All right. Of what God is saying. I'm going to bring you out of that. You know, a grave is really like a prison.
Mm-hmm.
You are bound and you are in it. And a grave condition is saying it's a bondage. And you are looking at the man like Lazarus. He was in the grave. Jesus came to him when it was past time. He allowed his body to rot. And he came to him and brought him out. So it was the principle of resurrection. So in it is God's timing. There was a timing in God's mind, which was different from the timing of man. I mean, the normal course of events says, you do not let the body stay 3 years. But here was the fourth day. The body was already smelling.
Yeah.
And Jesus comes. I said, Lazarus, comfort. And he rolled away the stone. And the man came out of it. You know? So it's all exciting. You know, so it's like, it's as though God is saying, you, if this thing is going to work, then we must be prepared to change our perception, our perspective. You know? So what they say is not possible with God. With God, it's possible.
Amen.
You know, so yeah, so it's the principle of resurrection that is working.
Yes.
Now, but you see, you can even take that word on a higher level. That if you are speaking of the grave, then not just circumstances, but the body is a grave also. Have you thought of that? The body is a grave.
We have a song about it.
Okay, the body is a grave. And the body is a grave for the soul. That's on a much more higher level. Alright? So, and the one is coming and says, look, I'm going to bring you out of your graves. That is, the grave is a mold, something that puts you on a mold, on a setting. You know, you are, Jesus said, the body, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, so that's a limitation. All right. So there's a stirring to break through, but the body puts exactly. It puts a damper on it. It puts a covering on it. And the prophetic word is saying, I'm not just going to deal with your sex setting. I'm going even to come to you, and I'm going to deal with the aspect that deals with you, your humanity. I'm also going to bring deliverance. And I say the thing is, when God begins to move in a setting, you see, the principle of God is not bound by time or locality or by circumstance. If God is blessing you, that blessing is in all the dimensions. You know, so God is omnipresent. That is, God is everywhere. So the presence of God cannot be limited with place. We are now in Modesto. We cannot be in Los Angeles at the same time. But with God is different. So He is here, and He can be. You know, so when God begins to bless, that is the way it comes. God is dealing with, will do and deal with you in all the various dimensions at the same time. So it's not just blessing your circumstance, He's going to bless you also in your members. You know, so what I see is that what God wants to do is going to be multidimensional. There are going to be changes in various ways. And that is a blessing. So as you begin to walk into it, there are many things that will begin to unfold. You know, and that is excitement. That it is not going to be bound by the laws of humanity, the natural laws as we have known it. So I want to go back to Genesis 1.
Do we need to keep our finger on Ezekiel?
Well, no, just move. Genesis was where I was going to. I was going to read Genesis 1 and 2 and then Genesis 26 and 27 before I went off into Ezekiel and so on.
Genesis 27?
No, Genesis 1.
Okay.
They will write 2, but I want to read verse 26 and 27.
First one?
26.
26.
Yes. 1, 26, 27, and 28. How are we doing for time?
Doing good.
Okay.
We got all day.
Oh, yes. Okay, that's good. All right, so it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Mm-hmm. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them.
Yes.
And God blessed them. I said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Amen. So there's a commission in Genesis that we can see God gave to man. All right. So in the midst of the darkness, God had a commission. And it would be good for you to see that commission, because it hasn't changed, you know. So in bringing Adam out of that darkness, in creating something out of that darkness, there was a commission that God had for Adam. And I just want to look at go into that for a while. Now, if you look at it, it says, going back to that 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So you may want to ask yourself, what is the image and what is the likeness of God? All right. So I asked God. I took it up. I'm saying, so what is the image and what is that likeness? And God said, my likeness is light. You know these principles, they may be hidden, but they are there for us if we will inquire of the Lord. He will show us. You know, so he said it is light. Now, you notice that in verse 2, there was a predominant force. There was a predominant spiritual substance that was working, and that was darkness. Darkness was all over the deep. Darkness was upon the face of the whole place. And with that darkness was destruction, was waste, was void, was disorder. You understand? And if you look at the world today, darkness is growing in the world and has to grow. God has to allow darkness free hand. Because we're not coming this route again. We're not coming this route again. You know, see, God has given time, Alpha and Omega, time to settle the question of darkness. So after time passes, there will not be another time to deal with darkness. You understand? So darkness must have a free hand to walk in men, to seal men. Every man that wants darkness will be given opportunity to receive darkness, to incorporate darkness in his being. And the result and effect of that will be seen upon the earth also. And while that is going on, God will also give everyone that wants light the opportunity to receive light, to incorporate light in them. And the result of light will also be seen. And then the Bible says that the light shines in the darkness. And that darkness is not able to put it down. So that is the principle of God for you, where you are, that you are light shining in the midst of darkness. So it says a city that is set upon the hill cannot be hidden. So we cannot hide our testimony. Okay, so darkness will come against us, but you see, God is not going to take away the darkness. It's still the same principle of what we have been saying. But in the midst of that darkness, God expands the light. There is a capacity for the light to break through the darkness, that the darkness will not be able to fully suppress the light. You know, so he said something to the man, let us make man in our own image. You see, in our own likeness. And the quality of light is dominion. Light has dominion. There is no argument. When it is day, it is day. You understand?
That means light has the ability to overcome darkness.
That ability is implied. Because when as the day begins to break, as the day is coming, darkness begins to recede. Okay? You know, so the darkness cannot say, I am not going to recede. You know, so it is a quality that light must dominate the darkness. Amen. So if we submit to God, then we will see that the light of God in us that begins to rise will at the same time put down the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you see, how does light come? It comes in degrees. In degrees. Yes, you know, it comes. Yes, it increases, yes. You know, so from midnight, the darkness begins to break and the light begins to come. You understand? So if we flow with the light, then the darkness will go down. You know, so we must understand that at 12 midnight, you don't have a sharp break of darkness. So the darkness is there, but the darkness is on the down, or it's on the downside, it's decreasing, and light is beginning to increase.
Isn't the darkness though? When you accept Christ, doesn't it start to decrease?
That's it. No, that's it. Yeah. Yes, that's it. Yes. So you're running ahead of me. That's very good. You know. So when the light comes, the darkness is broken.
Mm-hmm.
But the darkness is still there.
Right.
It's there, but it has no power.
Right.
Because it's been broken. All right. So. But you see, what the devil does is to make you believe that nothing has really happened. Nothing has changed. It's not true.
Right.
Something has changed.
Yes.
And what has changed is that light has begun to shine. And you see, it's like a light that shines in a dark place, that shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. And the day dawn.
Mm-hmm.
And the Son of Righteousness arise. So there is a process of light coming into you. So if you cannot expect it to be otherwise. if we expect it to be otherwise, then we will have disappointment and discouragement. You understand? Because what we are looking at is not natural. It's not going to happen. Praise God. You know.
What are we going to have disappointment if we do what?
No, if we expect the darkness to go away completely.
Oh, right, yes.
There will be half this one. And that is what Brother Bot was also saying, that in that setting where you are, God's objective is not to take you out of it.
Yeah.
You know, you are there, you are seeing the circumstance, but something has changed. You now have the ability to ride upon it.
Right.
You understand? So God has given you something to deal with it. Before, it wasn't there. Now you have a handle. Mm-hmm. All right. And if you really look at it, you are now in a position to have dominion, to begin to exercise authority over it. You are no longer submitting to the circumstance.
Yes.
Rather, you are the one exercising authority over the circumstance. You begin to challenge the circumstance. You begin to push it back. You begin to push it back. You know, and the devil knows that. He knows something has broken. You know, so it's not as it was before, because the word of God has come, the light of God has come. And you can see the first day when he said, "Let there be light," not much changed. Not much changed. There was light, but there was still much, you know, the trees hadn't come out, the firmament had not come, the animals had not come, man has not yet come. But it was the beginning. And God was satisfied with it. See, the evening and the morning.
Yeah.
And you see, it was good in the eyes of God. Amen. You know, so we need to walk with God. We need to understand God's way of doing things. And when we do, we're coming to God's order. In fact, we're coming to God's due order.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll be at peace. Amen. Okay, so we see that was the first day, but I'm still examining. So we said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now, the thing is, what should we have dominion over? The fish of the sea. Alright? So, that will make us all experts at fishing.
Yeah. Except you said that fishes are men.
Ah, now you're going somewhere. So you see, it becomes exciting. Okay. If not, we'll just become agriculturists, you know, just learning about farming. Okay? And then all the other one, it says, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all, over the earth and all that. So, and the creeping things. So, there is a prophetic word in it, and so the thing is, we have to identify what is it really that God is saying we should have dominion over. You know, so let's look at Acts chapter 10 to see detail.
Where are we going?
Acts 10. I'm just going to introduce this aspect of it, and we'll probably take a break. When we come back, we can now, because this is something a bit higher than what we've been looking at. So we'll just introduce it and then we'll take a break. Acts 10 is the story of Cornelius. I'm looking at this. Okay, verse
11 is where the heavens open.
Yeah, so let's start from verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. The sixth hour will just be at noon. If you know, the Jewish calendar is flipped. So, 6th hour is noon. Mm-hmm. The 3rd hour is 9 o'clock. and the ninth hour is 3 o'clock, so it's flipped. Okay, so noon, sixth hour will be the noon, and he became very hungry, and would have eaten, and while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been in a great, sheet knit at the four corners, and let down through the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the earth. This sounds like Genesis, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right? It sounds like Genesis.
Right.
Okay, good. And there came a voice to him saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Remember also in Genesis, he told him to eat this, you know, those creatures said, "You shall have dominion and eat them." Verse 14, and Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now, if you go, if you back up to Leviticus, Leviticus 11, in there it classified all the animals to clean and unclean. So there were some that were to be eaten, and most of the things that he was now being asked to eat were among those that were said they were unclean. So that was his response. He said, no, this is against my basic theology. I'm not supposed to eat. So here God was telling him, rise, eat. Mm-hmm. You know what? God was taking him higher from his basic theology. And really, this is the challenge we've had, because we receive a truth from God, which is a basic one, and we see a spin-off from that truth onto a higher dimension. We say, no, it cannot be that. We still, the natural tendency is to hold on to the basic. This is what we've been told, this is what we've been given, you know. Now, this is sounding a little bit, you know. So, there comes a time when we must hear in the Spirit. If we're hearing in the Spirit, we will know when there is a spin-off, something different. There is a new understanding, new revelation that is coming. All right. So for Peter, it was crunch time. I mean, he it was crunch time. It was a time for change.
Three times.
Well, the 3 times was the emphasis. You know, it was the 3 times was for emphasis. It was trying to say, look, you know, and of course we know the number 3 also has a prophetic dimension. Okay, the number 3 speaks of fullness, speaks of resurrection. All right, so, and of course, also speaks of, you can also take it to mean a change, that there was certainly going to be a change.
Because it was 3 times?
Yes, 3 is the number of change, of resurrection, of fullness. Okay, and not just that, 3 also is also the number of the working of God, because there are 3 dimensions of God, and then there are 3 natures that we have. We have a spirit from God. Man is a soul, and he lives in the body. So you can see all those 3 dimensions.
Good, better, best.
Okay, and then we have the altar called the holy place, and the holiest of all. You know, so it says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And he said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, and say, "What God hath cleansed,
yes,
that call not thou common." So God was saying, these are unclean things, but I have cleansed them. I can clean them. And he says, go ahead and eat them. And he said, this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. But that's not where I'm going to. Look at verse 17. Now, why Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. So you see, he realized that God was saying something to him.
Yeah.
Alright, so he was inquiring. Behold, men which came, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, listen to that, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So this is the bridge. This is the bridge. Alright? So here he has an understanding about these unclean things. Alright? He knows what they mean. But there is something different now. Three times. So he said, no, I know there is something that God is saying to me. And in the midst of it, the Spirit of God says, those unclean things you see are these men. In other words, see, there's a link between the unclean things and men.
Right. Amen.
Do you see the change? Do you see the link? Do you see the link? Mm-hmm. Where the Spirit of God is linking these unclean things to men. That this nature of unclean things is actually the nature of man.
Yes.
I don't completely see a little, but
read verse 17, 18, 19, and 20.
Okay, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Okay.
Go on, finish up.
Alright.
Verse 20.
And get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter.
So, don't you see the link? The Spirit of God was telling him, mm-hmm. showing him a vision of unclean things.
Okay.
And then there are men looking for him.
Uh-huh.
But these men were Gentiles.
Gentiles.
Which the Jews regard as being unclean.
Right, yeah. To the Jews they were unclean.
Oh,
okay.
But God was using these creeping things to represent the men.
Yeah.
All right. So in Peter's eyes, these men were unclean.
Oh, okay.
In God's eyes,
yeah,
those men were clean.
The three were unclean, not the three, right?
Yes. Well, what do you mean? Those men were unclean. So what we are seeing is that there is a relationship between the nature of those unclean things,
yeah,
and the nature of man.
Oh, okay.
You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because we begin to understand it when we look at another scripture. If you look at the scripture in Ezekiel, maybe we should go there. Ezekiel 1. The scripture in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 1 verse 5. 1, 4 and 5. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. You see, and I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the appearance of a man. Mm-hmm. All right. So we are seeing Cornelius,
yeah,
where the this we see different living creatures being used as a symbol for man. All right.
Yeah.
Good. And here we see another person, Ezekiel, having the same experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So the scripture tells us by the word of two or three witnesses. So we see the same principle running. All right. So we know it is a certain word that God is saying that there is a link between these living creatures and the nature of man. But the prophetic word is that even though God is using these living creatures, which are unclean, to represent the nature of man, there was a prophetic word in Acts saying,
yeah,
that God can clean those natures.
Amen.
God can clean them,
yeah,
and make them clean, and they can be meat for you. In other words, that you can overcome those natures.
Yes.
In a way that your life will be meat, will be strength.
Yeah.
Will be that who can minister life to other people. You understand? So that is the prophetic word, you know, that we can see there. So I would like to rest it at this point, because I know it's past 12, so I think energy may be running low. We might just be coming down to the valley, so we need to go relax so we can come up to the mountain again. And then we can go further. So I think we'll just take a break at this point, then we will start again. And when we come back, we will look at these four natures, and then we'll see how we can overcome. What is this saying?
Amen.
What do they mean? And how can we overcome in these four natures? Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, we can take questions if there are questions, or when we come back. You are going to say something.
I was just going to say when we're ready, just to have you guys say.
Okay.